God is doing his work. God's work is moving forward. The Lord Jesus said he would build his church, and he is building his church. But what of ourselves this evening? Are we a part of God's great building project? Are you interested in being a part of God's work? I suggest if you have no real interest in God's work this evening, it is very likely that you've got no living relationship with God, and that is your most fundamental need. But some of us, we may well be interested in God's work, but we're not quite sure about how to get involved or what are these things about with regard to God's work. Well, we're looking at the Word of God tonight to think about God's work and to think about our being involved in the work of God, which is moving forward. After all, this is the most important enterprise which is taking place on this planet at the present time. It is the work of the living God, and it is the most wonderful privilege to be involved in the work of the Lord. And younger ones, if you're wondering what life has ahead for you, perhaps you're thinking about big schemes that you'd like to be involved in. There is nothing greater to aspire to than to be involved in serving God and being in his work. This is the most important stuff to give your life to. It is God's work. So we're breaking into the ministry of our Lord Jesus as we come into Matthew and chapter 9. It is almost like a TV series, and we're breaking into an episode. You know, the series is developing, and 3 episodes have already gone, and you've not seen them. And you're viewing the 4th episode, and you're not quite sure perhaps what's gone before, but you're picking it up and you're gradually starting to understand what the pattern of things is. Well, it's a little bit like that for us tonight as we're breaking into the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. From chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew's Gospel, he's been laying the foundation of the manifestation, of the teachings, the basis of the kingdom of God, the rule of God. And then from chapter 8 onwards, he's been going about doing the great works of God. He's been teaching and preaching and doing works which declare the manifest, wonderful presence of our God. He is revealing God. He has been revealing God so that people would acknowledge God and come under his rule, and thereby have their lives transformed for good. So as we come to this passage tonight, as Simon has read it to us, we're particularly looking at verses 35 to 38. We're going to seek to learn lessons about being involved in the work of our God. 9 points tonight. 9 issues to ponder upon as regards to the work of God. First issue then tonight is keeping going. Just want to go back a little bit in the passage to verse 32. And I'm reading from there. You've got your Bible in front of you. Matthew 9 and verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. Do you see the flow of the passage there? The Lord Jesus has been doing the manifest works of God, and then the Pharisees step up and they say, ha, he only casts out demons by the rulers of demons. They're unimpressed. They're standing against the Lord Jesus. They're saying that all that he is involved in is connected with evil activity. They are hostile to the one who is going about doing the work of God, the ultimate one, the very Son of God who came doing the works of God and serving God in purity. And there's opposition and there's difficulty. But what do we read in verse 35? Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. The very simple point is that he kept going. The kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of darkness hate the work of God going forward. And so they hate those who would serve God so that the work of God would go forward. So perhaps tonight, this is for you. You're involved in the work of God. And perhaps somebody said something to you. Or you've hit some difficulty and you're thinking about giving up. The word of God says, keep going tonight. Keep going in this great service. We need stickability in the service of God. So keep going. The Lord Jesus kept going. Just because the religious leaders of the day stood in his way and stood against him, he was doing the great work of God. And so he kept going. First issue then, as regards to the ongoing work of God and being a part of it, is keep going. The second thing is, with regard to this work of God, that it involves going to people. Verse 35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. What you find in cities and villages that you don't necessarily find on the hillsides of Mid Wales. You find people, don't you? You have the urban areas and you have the rural areas. The Lord Jesus went to people. He was ministering to people. It may seem an obvious point, but the work of God involves people. It is taking the word of God to them so that they would hear about God, so that they would submit to God. I just want to suggest to us this evening that there's actually a very important point here as regards to being involved in the work of God. You see, if you are a preacher, you should not love preaching. You should love preaching to people. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, you should not just love giving Sunday school lessons. You should love giving Sunday school lessons to those pupils in front of you. And if you're a person who visits people, you don't just enjoy the visiting. You enjoy visiting people. You might help them. You might encourage them to move forward in the ways of God. So the work of God, the work of the kingdom in God, of God, involves people. The Lord Jesus, he went into the cities and the villages. He went there to engage with them, that he might do them good. So that's the second point tonight as regards to the work of God. It means going to people, going where they are. And I think there's an important point here as well as the going, you know, it's going out to people where they are. It's us going out of our comfort zones, going to reach people, going to meet with them so that we might bless them and we might do them good. Point number three then this evening, as regards to the work of God, it involves teaching and preaching. It involves teaching and preaching. The work of God moves forward through the word of God. The word of God should always have a priority. What is the thing here that the Lord Jesus was doing as he went into these places where these people were? He was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was declaring the message about the king. He was declaring the message about himself as the king. who had come. He was telling people that the day was at hand, the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and that people should repent and believe the gospel, the good news which he was the focus of, the good news which he was going to seal with the offering of his own holy being as the perfect offering on the cross of Calvary. There was a gospel because the king had come. The king had come to give his life, and through giving his life, as we obey the gospel, as we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, as we repent of our sins, as we acknowledge that he died for us, we can be blessed by this gospel. It is the most fundamental issue that we need to be aware of this evening. So if you're not saved, if you're not aware of what it is to be in the favor of God, then receive the gospel and receive Jesus Christ, the center of the gospel. So he came. He came teaching. He came informing people. He came telling them as regards to, that it is the very center of God's work. You said to me, perhaps you're not involved in this frontline ministry. But I think all of us, if you're involved perhaps in ministry you don't see as being so directly involved in bringing the word of God, remember that your work is helping forward the word of God going forward. Even if you're maintaining the premises here, you are somebody who is helping forward the word of God moving into this church and into this community. So your work is crucial to help forward the teaching and the preaching. But it's through the word of God taught and preached that life comes into the lives of people we want to minister to. And let's never get away from that. If you're starting up the clubs again in this church, go forward, go into them with a determination, with a longing to bring the word of God into the lives of those you minister to. For therein are the words that bring life, which bring eternal blessing. So the Lord Jesus, he is the great servant of God, doing the work of God. And he gives teaching and preaching primacy in his ministry. And so should we. Number four, the word, the work of God, when it is truly done, is always beneficial. It is always beneficial. Come then to verse 35 again. He'd been teaching and preaching, and then it says he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Again, I make an obvious point, but he doesn't say that he was bringing illness and disease. It doesn't say that he was bringing trouble and disaster into the lives of the people. It is the one who is the eternal Son of God, bringing in the kingdom of God. And through these works, he was declaring that he had come from glory to establish God's true kingdom. Here is the Son of God doing these unique works. But I simply want to make the point, they were beneficial works. People being healed and people being restored as regards from their sicknesses, I'm sure we all agree, is beneficial. We all are pleased when somebody is restored after a sickness. We're all pleased that they are making progress after having suffered. The work of God, you see, always brings benefit into people's situations. The entrance of the Lord Jesus into this world was he came with a ministry to bring benefit and to bless. And you see in his works which demonstrated that he was the Son of God, that they were all works which benefited healing people, delivering people from demons. So what does that mean for us this evening? Well, it means that the work of God always does us good when it is received. When people receive the word of God, when they are embracing the way of God, then there is blessing. Then there is benefit. Perhaps tonight you're wondering about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You're wondering about the truth of God. And you're wondering whether you should embrace this message and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And you're thinking, well, I'm not sure what it's going to mean for my lifestyle. I'm not sure whether it's going to actually take away a lot of my fun and take away a lot of the supposed good things in my life. Perhaps you've been brought up in a Christian home and you're wondering about things outside and finding them perhaps more attractive. And you're thinking, well, should I follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And simply what I want to say to you on the basis of these things happening here is that the way of the Lord, receiving the word of the Lord, embracing the work of the Lord, is always beneficial. You depart into the law, into the way of the world. You depart into the ways which are against God. They will always be harmful and always be detrimental. And they'll always ultimately bring sadness. So my exhortation to all of us tonight is embrace God's way. Embrace His purposes. Move forward in His way because it always brings blessing. It is always beneficial for our lives. The testimonies of those who've been wandering away are relentlessly and universally that when they come to Christ, their lives are blessed. Their lives are transformed for good. That's number four then. And it's a reminder to ourselves being involved in the work of God. It's the most glorious thing to benefit people's lives, you know, and to bring good into people's lives. So let's keep on going on in the work of God. Number five then. So what have we thought about this evening? Firstly, we thought about keeping going. Secondly, we thought about going to people. Thirdly, we thought about teaching and preaching. Fourthly, we talked about how the work of God always is beneficial. Now the fifth point tonight I want to think about is compassion. And I'm moving now into verse 36. Let's read it together. But when he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Hard-hearted and cold-hearted people never can truly be involved in the work of God, in carrying out the work of God. See here, our Lord Jesus. The word says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. In the very heart of his being, there was that yearning for these people that he saw, yearning for their welfare, longing that there would be a transformation of their situation because he saw them desperate. What does it say? He says, the word says, how he saw them. He saw them as weary and scattered, or harassed and helpless, or distressed and downcast. He looked out over the people. Saw that they needed guides. They were like sheep having no shepherd. What a sheep with no shepherd, just wandering around, aimless, don't know what they're doing, don't know where they're going. Well, that's how our Savior saw the multitudes as he looked out. What a heart he had for people. Here is the gracious Lord Jesus Christ. So think about that for us today then. Think about that for us today. Nationally, no guides really, are there? People who call evil good. I'm speaking generally here. People who are in the political power, leading us in wrong directions. In society, those who are set up to be our guides are very often those who are chasing just money and pleasure. In our communities, are there any guides we can find? And sadly, in our families, again, I speak generally. So many families are in complete disorder and disintegration. There are no guides in our family. But I believe in our families. But I believe most of all, the Lord Jesus is thinking of these people individually. He's scanning their lives and he's looking at them. And individually, they had no direction. They had no master who they could look to who'd give them true direction. They were just wandering around, harassed and helpless, distressed and downcast. And he is there with that great shepherd heart towards them. Because that's what's behind this, isn't it? Is the great shepherd caring heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who came in the fulfillment of Scripture. Micah chapter 5 and verse 4 concerning our Lord Jesus, it was prophesied those 700 years before he came. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. You see, as he saw them as sheep without a shepherd wandering astray, he was there as the one who could be their shepherd and give direction to their lives. So if you're here tonight and you're just wandering, directionless, and you know it, you know you've got no purpose, there is one who is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the one, when you submit to his shepherdhood, your life is transformed to one which is now under his direction, and that is always for good and for your benefit. But let us think of ourselves as being involved in the work of God. How do we see people? If we want to be involved in the work of God, there has to be compassion. There has to be compassion. Compassion for people. How do we see people? How do you see people? Christians, how do we see people tonight? We scan people. It's a great city of London. When we're going around, what do we see? Are we just curious? Well, that person's a bit fat. That person's a bit tall. I wonder why those two are together. Are we just curious? Are we just to wander around with curiosity? Or do we wander around with hostility? Moral indignation. Of course they deserve that coming to them, choosing such a lifestyle like that. Or do we just have indifference? Plain, straightforward indifference. We're just not bothered about people. They go their way. I'll go my way. Or do we just think of things in terms of lifestyle choice? I think this can be a thing we very easily have, fellow Christians. We just think of lifestyle choices, you know. I've chosen this way, you know. I've chosen this Christian way, and other people have chosen their way, and well, that's their lifestyle, and this is my lifestyle, and we'll both go our different ways. And there's no compassion, is there? Where's the compassion? Where's our heart to realize that we have to get beyond curiosity, hostility, indifference, and just thinking about things in terms of a lifestyle choice? We have to think that if people have not got the Lord Jesus Christ, as we scan the message, they are harassed and helpless. They are distressed and downcast because they have no shepherd. They have no guide. They have no true guide. Perhaps they profess other guides, but those guides will never do them any good. Ultimately, they always lead to disaster. The only guide who brings eternal good is our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see people wandering around through this world, chasing all kinds of things in all kinds of different ways, of pleasures in different directions, the emptiness of people's lives, does it affect us, fellow Christians? Does it affect us? You know, beyond the money, you know, people have their attractive houses. Beyond the money, there are lives which are collapsing because they have not the Savior. And so that the heart of any ministry is this heart of compassion. If you're involved in ministry, do a check tonight of your own heart. As you think about those youngsters perhaps you're ministering to, are they just a list of names? Or are they ones that you have compassion for? Because you long for their welfare and you see them growing up and you see them like sheep without a shepherd. And if they don't find the shepherd, their lives will be wasted, no matter what material pleasures or prosperity they might receive. You see, we're blessed, fellow Christians. We have the shepherd. We have one who is our guide and always does us good. He's never done us any wrong, has he? Being under the guidance of this great shepherd, we've wandered from him, but he's brought us back. He's the most gracious, wonderful shepherd to have, for he cares for us, even in spite of all of our wanderings. And others don't have him. Oh, others need him. May we long on our knees, in our hearts, for others. The Lord Jesus saw the multitudes. And he wasn't just curious, indifferent, hostile, or thinking of lifestyle choice. He was just moved with compassion for them. Let us think about these things then, fellow Christians. It will motivate us to keep going because we long for people's welfare. Paul, he said concerning his ministry, that I endure all things for the elect, that they may obtain the eternal salvation, which is the eternal glory, he says in 2 Timothy and chapter 2. We just long for people because we want them to know this salvation, to know this shepherd. Number six then tonight. Number five was compassion. Number six, there is work to be done. There is work to be done. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. There is a harvest. I believe Simon mentioned this in his prayer. There is a harvest. And it is there right now. It was there when the Lord Jesus was around. And it is exactly the same today. The harvest truly is plentiful. Right now, there are people around us who need the blessing of God in their lives. They need to hear the word of God. They need to be reached by the work of God. And as servants of God, we can go in that work to take the word of God, that they might be blessed by the God of the word and the God of the work. Think of harvest then. It's harvest time, isn't it? But it's not always harvest time. You know, we've been picking blackberries. But I don't know how long the harvest is going to be there. Possibly another week or another fortnight, the blackberries will all be gone as the season moves on. You see? The word harvest implies something actually which has a temporariness to it. Because with the seasons moving on, the harvest goes. Because it's too late to harvest. The farmers, therefore, are out right now, aren't they? Harvesting to bring in the harvest while they can. Because now is the time to bring in the harvest. Does that make a point to us this evening? That now is the time for harvest. Now there are people around us who are in need of hearing from God, the word of God. Lives are passing away, and people need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they would come into the fold, as it were, if I'm mixing my images and metaphors here, that they might come to be a part of this great kingdom and to know this shepherd. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. People need to be taught the way of God. There is work to be done. There is no shortage of work to be done. Number seven then. There are not many workers. There are not many workers. But the laborers are few. End of verse 37. Says,
The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Again, that hasn't changed, has it? The laborers are still few. There are still not many laborers around. The harvest is vast. The harvest is plentiful. And in the context of St. Margaret's, Twickenham, West London, London itself, how many people are there who are going out to declare the word of God in context of the vast population around us? It's very few, isn't it? It's very few. There are still only a few workers. That's point number seven. But point number eight is the response to that. There may not be many workers in the kingdom of God, but how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? We pray. Verse 38, therefore pray. What do you do in the response to the fact there's a great harvest and there's not many workers, there's a shortage of workers? What do we do? What could you think about doing? We could think about panicking, couldn't you? Think, well, this is just too much. We can't do anything. Or you could think about going manic. Think, well, we just go chasing everywhere. Everybody out, everybody out. Just got to go, got to go. Well, what does the Lord Jesus say? Therefore, pray. Therefore, pray. What does he say? He says, pray. That's what he says. In the context of the work of God needing to be done and the fact that there's not many people doing it, he says, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. You see, if we just go in a manic propulsion to get on with these things, it's very likely just to be a thing that's of us, isn't it? Whereby the work of God is of God and has to come from God, and the workers of God are given by God, therefore pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see, when we're praying, we're acknowledging that, Lord, it's all yours. Your harvest is that which belongs to you. And you're the one who sends out laborers into your harvest. So the Lord says, pray, ask him to send people out with his anointing, with his spiritual power. Prayer brings us into contact with the master of the work. It's not our work, it's his work. But we've got to pray. I think in many ways this is our Achilles heel, is it, to use that phrase? This is our great weak spot as regards to the work of God. This praying into the work of God. I feel there is a lot of work, perhaps, that goes on amongst us. But how much prayer is there? How much seeking of God is there in the work and for the work? J.C. Ryle says, never, never may we forget that if we would do good to the world, our first duty is to pray. Very often is it the case, fellow Christian, that our first response is to plan. Our first response is to arrange. Whereas the Lord Jesus, when he saw the massive need and he saw the fact that there was very few to meet the need, he says, get on your knees and pray. It is through prayer that the kingdom of God moves forward. So I urge us all towards prayer, towards seeking God, towards longing for his working to raise up laborers into his harvest. Sometimes we wonder what to pray. Well, there's a prayer you can go into the week with, isn't it? Every day, pray that. Pray that. Lord, raise up laborers into your harvest. Seek him that he might be glorified through many being raised up to take forward
his great gospel message. So the work of God is going forward. We've got one point left. But we've thought about keeping going in the work, going to people in the work, teaching and preaching is at the heart of the work. The work of God, when truly done, is always beneficial. The heart of the work of God is compassion. And there is work to be done. There are not many workers, number seven. Number eight, we must pray. The work of God goes forward through prayer. And finally, number nine, be ready to go. Be ready to go. Be ready to go. Because it seems that the way that the passage is constructed, that those who are called to pray are those who are the ones who go. So you read into chapter 10 and it says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, see verse 37 of chapter 9, it said, then he said to his disciples, harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore pray. Chapter 10, he says to those 12 disciples that they were to be going out. And he says in verse 5 of chapter 10, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There seems to be a connection here. When God brings your soul alive so that you're getting into a position where you're praying, longing, yearning for the work of God to go forward by workers being raised up, that very often, guess what? It's those who are longing and yearning and getting to business with prayer who are the ones who are going to be sent out. Those are the ones who he will take up and move into his harvest field to his honor and glory. And that's wonderful. Because as we've already thought, it's the greatest work to be involved in the work of God and seeing the kingdom of God established and the work of the Lord moving forward. May it be so that many of us from now on will set ourselves to prayer, yearning for God's work, and many of us would be seeing, developing in our hearts, that yearning to go and to tell and to see people reached. So, conclusion then, we think of this great work, which is the most wonderful work. It is the work of the Lord. It is the work of God. This is life. This is fulfillment. And the Lord Jesus would say to us all tonight, as Christians, fulfill our ministries. Fulfill our ministries that we might be for our Lord God. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the message from God is, come and submit to the Lord of the work that you might have the life of God in your life, that your life might now have meaning and that you would be a part of this great kingdom and that you could then move into this great work and this great life, which is serving God and being for God. May the Lord bless his word to us tonight, that the work of God might go forward in and through us.